Yeah, so the thing about the shooting in Connecticut, man, that was pretty disturbing, wasn't it? I think there were 26 people in all who were killed there, 20 kids lost their lives, you know, which sparked a huge debate in our society about gun control. And, you know, it really, I appreciate what Jerry said about the Martin Luther King Day, because this Martin Luther King Day, because of how he passed and because of his stance of nonviolence, just meant more to me this year, I think, in light of what happened out there in Connecticut a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you look at that and you just wonder, you know, how, why, what happened and what's going on there. And then if you follow sports at all, you probably also have heard about the Lance Armstrong thing, right? He'd been lying to us for the last 17 years. And when they accused him of doping and blood transfusions and using performance-enhancing drugs, he did not just deny it. I don't know if you followed racing at all. He didn't just deny that he did them. He was angry and in your face about, I never did those. He actually filed a libel lawsuit and won it in court against people who were accusing him of this performance-enhancing drug use, and he knew they were telling the truth the whole time. What he did, the lies that he perpetrated, ruined hundreds of people's lives and cost people tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars in the last 17 years. And he finally decides to tell the truth when there's a 1,000-page report that comes out about all of the different things that he has done. And, you know, he had me fooled. I don't know about you. I believed him. When he said that he never used it, I believed him. And to find out the depth and the breadth of the lies that he told, I'm just still staggered by that. And then a smaller story that is not on the scale of these other ones, but I feel like I have to mention it out of good conscience, is a guy by the name of Manti Te'o. Have you guys followed this story at all? For those of you who don't know who Manti Te'o is, he's a star football player for the University of Notre Dame. In the interest of full disclosure, I must admit that I love Notre Dame with all my heart. And so any comments have to be taken in light of that. But if you didn't hear, apparently he was hoaxed into thinking that that there was this girl that he met online and spoke to on the phone, that she was his girlfriend. He fell in love with her. He would go to sleep at night, and she couldn't go to sleep unless they were on the phone together. And he had this long-distance relationship, never having met her. And then he finds out that this girl dies from leukemia. But then later on he found out that this woman never even existed. That it's just a huge hoax that was perpetrated on him. And I still haven't figured out all the details about that. But it you know, it just goes to, kind of in my mind, the Lance Armstrong thing, the lying, the all this stuff and that's been going on in the world. And I think it's important for us to wrestle with, what does God say about this kind of stuff? What does God think? What would Jesus say to Lance Armstrong? You know, what does God's word say about online dating and lying and those kinds of things? What does the Bible say about God allowing something like the shooting in Connecticut to take place? How can we understand these things? And we as believers need to wrestle with these things through prayer and with the Word of God in hand. Look over there in Hebrews chapter 4. The Scripture says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You may be wondering why I'm reading that off the screen. It's because I'm trying not to wear my glasses today. It's a vanity thing. Notice here that the Bible says the Word of God is alive and active. In other words, the Bible is not a dead book. What we experience in our life, what we see in our world, all the tragedies and difficulties and bad news stories that we hear, that the Bible is not just laying over there somewhere, but the Bible's got something to say about that kind of stuff. That the Bible is alive, it is real, and it can help us understand these things. But not just the things that are going on in the world, like the Lance Armstrong and the Manti Te'o thing, but it also can help us in our day-to-day life. It can help us with our marriage, with our family. It can help us with other relationships, with our job, with our career. It can help us with dating. It can help us if we're facing things like depression or anxiety. It can help us when we're making decisions about things in our life. If there's one thing that I would hope that you would get in the lesson today and in my time that I get to spend, whatever it is, be short or long here in downtown, is that God wants to meet you right where you're at. Whatever you're facing in your life right now, that's where God wants to be. Oftentimes we think about God in these, you know, spiraling cathedrals and big religious things and a sense of awe and all of those things. We need to be in awe of God. But as I read my Bible, He wants us to call Him Father. And what father is not concerned about what their children are going through right now? One of my children just this week, we had to sit down. They're at a crossroads of their life trying to make some decisions about where they're going to go and what they're going to do. And when we sat down, it pulled on my heartstrings. And I want to do everything that I can. Barb and I want to do everything that we can to help this child of ours to have the best outcome that they possibly can. If we who are evil love our children that way, how much more does God want to be a part of whatever you're going through in your life right now? If you're struggling with a relationship, God wants to be right there. If you have questions about your life, God wants to be right there. If you're experiencing great victories in your life, God wants to celebrate those with you. Wherever you are right now, that's where God wants to be. And in light of these stories that we talked about earlier, I want us to do just a little bit of Bible study today and understanding what the Bible has to say about evil. You know something, I have an opinion that we as a society have kind of lost track of that idea of good and evil. What I mean by that is that I think that we kind of think that we are smart enough to figure this stuff all out on our own. That if we just put brighter minds on it and do more research and try harder, that we as human beings can come up with the answers so that we will not have things go on like we had in Connecticut. So that we would not have Lance Armstrong. And we don't really, really believe that there are forces of good and forces of evil that are alive in this universe. We kind of think we're really all good and there's really no evil. We've got to do better. We just have to spend more time. We just have to research more and we can come up with the answers. But guys, I'm here today to tell you, we can't come up with the answers on our own. Whether you're talking about world events or whether you're talking about events that are going on in our life day to day, we cannot come up with answers on our own. We have to turn to God. Now we do know that we have figured a lot of stuff out about human behavior and you know, we appreciate the field of psychology and the different things that they do to help us out. You know, one of the things that they teach us is GIGO. Who knows what GIGO is? G-I-G-O.
Garbage in, garbage out.
That's a scientist coming up with that. You start with a bad thing, you're going to end with a bad thing. You can go through the process perfectly, but if you put garbage in at the beginning of it, garbage is going to come out. That's true. Garbage in, garbage out. Look in Romans chapter 7. Just want to share with you a few passages about what the Bible teaches on the topic of evil. Romans chapter 7, 21. Here's your first point. We all have evil desires. Can I get a witness there? I would like to stand before you today and say, as your preacher, I never have an evil desire. But I'd be a liar if I did that. Romans chapter 7, verse 21. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Who can relate to that? Don't be surprised when you get tempted to do something wrong or bad. Don't be shocked. And don't be shocked when people that you know and love do something wrong and bad. How could you do that? Well, they're human. That's how they could do that. Inside of each one of us, there is that desire to lie, to keep from getting caught. There's that desire to cheat, to get things that we don't deserve. There's that desire to steal, to get something that is easy. There's that desire to be jealous, that desire for unbiblical sexual relationships. There's that desire for greed and more money. We have those desires, and they live inside of every single one of us. What you struggle with and what your evil desires may be, I might look at you and say, I can't relate at all to those evil desires. But then when I start talking about what my evil desires are, you may not be able to relate to what mine are. I don't quite understand it all, but I just know after ministering to many people for many years that each person has their own kind of set of evil desires. And I'm 56 years old, and they don't really change when you get older. Whatever you struggle with when you're younger, that's what you struggle with when you get older. Add a few more in there, but so don't be surprised. The Bible says we all have evil desires. Second lesson I would hope that we learn today from God's word about evil is God can help. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. This is what I was talking about earlier. I don't think that we as a world can overcome the evil within us without the help of God. I don't think that you as an individual can overcome evil without the help of God. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Just as we mentioned before that we all have evil desires, there's also a part of us that can participate in the divine nature. God can put His Spirit in us and He can help us escape that corruption that happens. God wants to help. God is there to help. You see, God gives everybody a choice. You want to do evil? God's not going to stop you. You say, why didn't God stop that guy? Because God doesn't do that. God allows us to make our own choices, for good or for evil. And he lets those consequences play out in our society and in our lives. He's not going to make you do anything. He has given you a free will. But he hasn't left you alone. He is there to help you with his great and precious promises so that you can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world that's caused by evil desires. How does he do that? Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. One of the worst things you can do if you're trying to be a better person is just stop trying to do the wrong thing. Because you get this negative thought in your mind. You're coming from a negative place. And you will be frustrated. It lends itself to kind of a legalistic, white-knuckling approach to changing our bad behaviors. You're never going to be able to do that. You will fall back into them. If all you do is try to just stop doing evil. Now we need to stop trying to do evil. Don't get me wrong. But the other part of it, as the Bible says, is that we need to overcome evil with good. You know that gigo, garbage in, garbage out. There's another phrase that we could quote, good in, good out. If we fill our lives up with garbage, our lives are going to end up being garbage. If we fill our minds and our lives and our time up with good, then our lives are going to end up being good. Good in, good out. You know, a great place to start is something very simple. It's opening up your Bible and letting God speak to you. You might call that a quiet time, personal devotional. But let God's Word open it up. Make that a habit. A daily habit in your life to open up the Word of God and to let God speak to you. That is good in. That's one of the things that we can do to overcome the evil with the good. The God's Word is good. And when we let that into our heart and we let that into our life on a daily basis, you'll be amazed at the results that produces in your life. I think sometimes we get a little older as Christians and we kind of don't really believe that anymore. Or maybe we've never tried it before. No matter how old we are as a Christian, to be able to open up God's Word, spend a little time in the Word of God every day and let Him speak to you, that's a great place to start right there. Studying your Bible and praying. One of the big things that when I came to downtown that was important to me is that we serve the poor, that we take care of the needy. And I was so happy when I found Jerry Downing. He was a kindred spirit. He was out there a couple paces ahead of me. It's not something I am naturally drawn to do, but I think it's something that's very important. We still need to go back. You're okay. All right. But I think it's very important for us to remember the poor, because in remembering the poor, that's doing something good. That's overcoming our evil desires by filling our time and our hearts up with doing good. And so once a month this year, we're going to institute a monthly contribution for the needy. Next week will be the first time. Part of the money we collect will go to Hope Worldwide and the needy people there. Any money that we collect over, I think, $300 will stay right here in the local and take care of our brothers and sisters who are going through a hard time in their financial life. And we'll take that up once a month. That's good. That's something good that we can do. February the 17th, we're going to have our first Serving Sunday. I'm very excited that we're going to have the campus ministry from the Central Region join us that day. And we're going to come together on February the 17th, have a shortened service, and then we're going to go down, as many of us who want to go down to Skid Row, and we're going to take stuff down there and serve the needy on that day. That's something good. Something good that we can do. Overcome evil with good. And finally, number four, evil will catch up to you. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6. I just had to put his picture back up here. Look at this scripture. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. I rest my case, Your Honor. Okay, life application. What is it that you're facing in your life right now? As we mentioned earlier, that's where God wants to meet you. Whether it's in your marriage or dating or family, your health, emotional issues like anxiety and depression, that's where God wants to meet you. That's where God wants to be. He wants to get next to you right there through His Word, through prayer, and through the church. There's two great ways that God wants to help us where we are. One, well, there's more than two, but there's two we're going to talk about today. One is the Word of God. He wants to help you where you are with the Word of God because it's living and active. And wherever you're at, there's a scripture that's going to help you. The second way that He wants to help you is through the church. Now, just understand that what we're doing right now is not really church. Well, it's church, but it's not really church. When you read your Bible, what church is the relationships that you have with each other throughout the week and the depth and the wonderfulness of the relationships that you have. That's what church is. And the Bible teaches that this is the way that God can get next to us, is through the relationships that we have with one another, where we speak the truth in love to each other, where we get open with our lives and have vulnerable and real relationships. If you're not a part of the church here, I want you to understand that Sundays are great, and we have Bible teaching, we do a lot of training and wonderful things, but the essence of what our church is the relationships that we have with each other. That's how God's going to get where you are. And there are a few of us who would consider themselves to be members of our church, but you're not really connected on a deep relationship level with anybody. You don't get open with your life. You're not in any kind of a committed relationship. You don't have a group that you regularly attend. And I'm just telling you, don't expect to grow spiritually if you're not practicing what the Bible says about church. Don't expect transformation in your life. Don't expect things to suddenly, the evil things that you're dealing with, the bad things that you're dealing with, to go away without doing it God's way, which involves relationships. That's what it's all about. That's how God has given that to us. I did have an encouragement scripture this. You know, I know there's so many of us that are fighting that fight. We're battling that battle, and we're trying to do good, and we get defeated, then we keep trying, and then we fall back, and then we step forward. Here's the scripture I want to share with us just to kind of build us up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Hang in there. You may have taken a setback this week or last week, or you may have taken a Manti Te'o this last week. I don't know. But hang in there. Keep your head up. Keep trying. If you got knocked down this last week, get back up right now. And get back in there with God. And if you didn't get knocked down and you're doing good, keep it up. Keep trying. Rewards come to those who persevere in their spiritual life. And I appreciate all of you who do that in your life. I do have an invitation. If you're a guest of us here today, you're visiting with us, I don't know what path brought you here today. Perhaps it was the path of unbridled success and you decided to come. Perhaps it was you're troubled with some area of your life and you're here today looking for answers. Maybe you're just here because a friend invited you. But whatever brought you here today, we want to help you and meet your needs wherever you're at spiritually. As a matter of fact, I want to invite you to lunch afterwards. Right after the service, about 15 minutes after the service, we're going to have a luncheon in the teacher's lounge back through there, back through the thing. And if you're visiting with us today and you'd like to know more about the church, if you're visiting today and you'd like to pursue your relationship with God, if you've left the Lord and you'd like to be restored to the Lord and His fellowship, we want to invite you back. If you're not a member of the church, of this particular fellowship, but you are a disciple and you want to place your membership here, we want to invite you back there as well. Sandra, Golly, and Tara, and a few of the other sisters have put together a great lunch for us there. We appreciate them doing that. And for our brothers and sisters, the church members here, I want you to know that most Sundays we're going to do this. Have a little luncheon after church for all of our guests to find who want to find out more about the church, who are looking for a relationship with God. And we have some great stuff to hand out and to share and to give people a chance to know more about what God is doing here. You know, if you are a guest, your host is invited along with you. We don't want you to have to come back there by yourself. So please come back and join us. It'll be about 15 minutes after service ends, and we will do that. We do have some bracelets to hand out. At this time, they'll be handed out. John mentioned this in his sermon last Sunday down in Redondo Beach. They say, live strong. We got a really good deal on them. He deserved that. No, they say, rooted in Christ. And that's our theme for this year. And what we talked about today is exactly along that line of what it means to be rooted in Christ. I'm so glad to be a part of this fellowship. I'm so glad that we have a heart to help the needy. I'm so glad that we have a heart to help people who are looking for a relationship with God. It's on my heart to reach out to singles and to strengthen them in their relationship with God. So I really appreciate Phil Reed. Amen. He's opened up his apartment for two Fridays. He's going to do it one more Friday this Friday. And then the other day we were talking on the phone, and I said, Phil, it's on my heart. We just got to start a Bible study in your apartment complex. We got to help people in their relationship with God. And he's like, let's do it. I love what you're thinking. Let's go. And so pray for us this week. Phil and I are going to start a Bible talk. We're going to a live talk in his apartment complex. But that's just the heart of the congregation here. The heart to serve, the heart to strengthen, and the heart to celebrate. It's been so good to be here together this morning, and I look forward to seeing you next week.